Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm Pastor Dwayne. I'm excited to have you here for our Sunday morning worship experience this morning. Could you do me a favor? If you're watching at home right now, could you do us a favor? I'd love to connect with you. So if this is your first time joining us in Encounter Life, we have a simple way that you can do that on our connection form right online at our website, encounterchurch.net/next. encounterchurch.net/next, N-E-X-T. Go there. There's a digital connect card. If you can let us know, look, this is my first time here. Let us know your name, and we'd love to connect with you. You can ask questions, find out if you have any questions more about how you can be involved and what's going on here, whether it be small groups or ministry opportunities. You can submit that right there on that form right there. Look, I pray that you've had an amazing week last week, and we're looking forward to going into this week that God's going to do some humongous, amazing things. This morning, as we're gathering in our time of worship and preparing to hear the word, look, I say this all the time. My prayer is not that you get more information from me, but that God brings about transformation in your life through his word and the power of his spirit. Look, if you're watching and you're in need of prayer, let us know. You can let us know again on that that link that I sent earlier, encounterchurch.net/next. You can let us know, please, somebody pray for me if you want someone to contact you for prayer. If you're watching on Facebook, look, we'd love for you to like, share this with somebody. If you're on YouTube, definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'd love for you to do that and share what God's doing here at Encounter Life with somebody else who you know who needs to hear the good news of what God is doing in lives right now. So today, I'm excited because we are in week two. This is the second Sunday in October. And October, as you know, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I got my pink shirt on here. I just want to take time to shout out all of those who are breast cancer survivors, but not just our breast cancer survivors, those who are in the midst of the struggle right now, and also to remember those that we know who have transitioned, who've won in another way, who've had breast cancer, and those we've lost to breast cancer. We want to remember them and just pray for those families. This is a time where we want to be praying that God will use the wisdom of modern medicine to bring about a cure to this dreaded disease. So I just want to let all of you know who are watching today, if you're in the middle of this fight, that we're praying with you, we're praying for you. Those who are survivors, we thank God for you to show that we serve a God who's still able to heal and do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Amen. Amen. This month, our series is titled XO. We're talking about love, relationships, and the church. And man, I don't know about y'all, but relationships can be complicated. And we started last week with the friendship deal. We talked about what about your friends. And we looked at the kind of friends that we should accept and the kind of friends that we should reject, the kind of friends that we should avoid and the kind of friends that we should accept. And we said, look, if you want to accept friends, they got to be a friend, F-R-I-N-D. They got to be faithful. They got to be respectful of others. They have to have high integrity. You want people who are empathetic and they emulate the Christ-like compassion. You want somebody that N will never lie to you, and then somebody D that will diffuse discord. Those are the kind of people that you accept into your life as friends. Look, that's a guide for just your regular friends, those of you who are out here who are dating. If you're looking for somebody you're interested in dating, do they have those qualities? Are they faithful? Are they respectful? Or do they have high integrity? These are things, these are qualities that you want to look for in friends. And we challenged you last week to look, do some self-assessment, take an inventory of my relationships, those I call friend, and decide, look, maybe I need to change the name. Maybe they don't fit into that F-R-I-E-N-D, that acronym. And maybe we need to change. Maybe we shouldn't say friend. Maybe they should be acquaintances. And then I also assess myself to say, look, have I been a friend? Have I been displaying those qualities and ask God to make the changes in my life? So I pray you were able to do that this week. I pray that God gave you the courage to begin to maybe try to pull away from some relationships that might not be healthy, that might be toxic, right? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? How many know that a lot of time we can be guilty by association? How many relationships have I had in my life that, look, in your life, that, look, I may not have been that person, but because I was linked up with them, that, you know, I ended up dealing with some consequences that I shouldn't have. So, look, we talked about friendship last week, but today we're going to be dealing with another topic that, you know, that is really, really, I think, important in the church, because as a pastor, a lot of times, I get to talking about family and marriage. I'm so excited to be married. I love my wife, Tracy, and I give, y'all know, if you've heard me, I've always given examples about my family and my wife and marriage, and God's word has so much to say about marriage and marital relationships. But you know, the fact of the matter is, everybody in the church ain't married. And sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, if you've ever been in church, if I'm talking to all my single people, Beyonce, all my single ladies, and I'm not just talking to all my single ladies, I'm talking to all my single people out there. Look, I want to know, look, have you ever felt in church like everybody in here is married? You know, like everything that talks about family, all the topics have to do about marriage. But you know what? As a single person, it can kind of make you feel like, man, I'm lost. Maybe, you know, does God have anything to say to me as a single? Look, God's word has so much to say to you as a single person. Not only that, growing up in church, if you're watching me today and you've been in church and you grew up in church and you're a single person, I know what it's like for everybody trying to get you married to somebody, trying to find you that spouse, that connection. But I'm here to tell you, do you know, all of us, God didn't call all of us to be married. And sometimes, because we can look at those that are in another life situation, if you're single right there, you can be looking at marriage, your married couples, and saying, wow, man, I wish I had their hand. You know, I heard a story of a couple that was saying, look, they were looking at this other couple's relationship, and they were wishing that their relationship was like that, and the other couple was looking at them, and they both were going to the same counselor, and come to find out, both of them wished their relationship was like the other couple. And I say that to say that you can be in a station in life, in a position in life, where you're envying somebody and somebody else is looking at you wishing they had your hand. And today, if you're single, God said, man, he's got some amazing things that he wants to accomplish through you as a single person. And for those of us who are married, look, there are people who are single amongst us. We got to remember that God has called, there are some singles amongst us that God is going to want to do amazing things. And when he has that time and that season for you to be joined to a spouse, he'll do it. But I want you to be content. God wants you to be content right where you are. Look, I want to encourage you to bloom where you're planted. So God put on my heart today to talk from the topic, living single. Anybody remember that show from back in the 90s? Living Single, Queen Latifah, Kim Fields. I used to love watching that show of those young people who were living in New York City as single people. Today, God has something to say to you, if you're a single person, on how to live single as a follower of Christ. And we're going to give you some principles, single. We're going to give you some principles on how to live single in a godly way, bringing honor to God, and so you can bloom right where you are planted. Is that okay? Can we ask God to bless our time this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We honor you. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to open your word. And I pray that, Lord, you'll challenge someone today. I pray for all of those who are watching me right now who are in that single season of life. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that as they're there, that you'll keep them from being discontent and envious, Lord God, and to bloom where they're planted, to Lord God, enjoy the season and time that you have them in, and to maximize their moments, to understand you've got some ways for them to live as singles. And I pray that those of us who are married, Lord, will be good examples, that we will be mentors, that we will pour into their lives and let them know, Lord God, how significant they are and a significant piece in the body of Christ, Lord God, to accomplish your work and your ministry, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if you could, look, if you're in your Bible or your phone or your app, follow me at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to look at verse 25 to verse 35. And we're just going to give you some principles on how to live single and honor God. Is that okay? 1 Corinthians 7, 25 through 35 says, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Don't seek for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, and those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way and undivided devotion to the Lord. Boy, that passage has so much in it. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, he's telling, listen, time is short. The time is winding up. So we ought to begin to live right now. Whatever state you're in, be content and don't get engrossed too much in what's happening, because guess what? His coming is coming. Jesus is coming back soon. And what he's telling right now is so amazing that so often, you know, as a young person, as a single person, man, I wanted to be married. My parents, Pastor Mac and Sister Dolores, just celebrated 53 years of marriage. And they've been such a wonderful example of what marriage is all about. So for me, I was striving to, one day I wanted a wife, and I was looking for a wife, and a lot of times growing up as a Christian young man, you're trying to do what God has called you to do, and I made some terrible mistakes in that, from that dating window, and we're going to talk about that too. And a lot of the mistakes I made because I wasn't content living single. And I had to come, and what the passage is telling us right here, that y'all, you know what, so many of you want to press to be married. I'm here to tell you that God's got some amazing things for you to do as a single person. Right in the passage, he said, listen, man, when someone is married, what happens? They are concerned about what's happening right now. They have to please their wife. That's their concern. But when you're unmarried, listen, you are released from those encumbrances. And all you got to focus, you can focus on one thing, is doing what? Ministry, doing what God has called you to do. There's so much there that's available for you as a single person. So let's look, we want to look at some of those things this morning. And we're going to use the acronym SINGLE. The first thing that if you want to live single to honor God, if you want to live single to honor God, the first letter in SINGLE is S. It starts with you surrendering your life. Yeah, you got to surrender your life. In the passage here, right here, he said, listen, that single person can devote themselves totally to God. They can devote themselves all of what God has called them to do. I know this because as a married man, yes, I want to please God, but also I want to please God, but I got to please God while pleasing my spouse in the context of honoring my wife. When I'm single, guess what? It's just me and God. And God is calling you. What better time for you to focus on you and God when there are no other things in your life that you actually have to focus on? No other responsibilities when we talk about relationships. So now in this season is a time that you, as a single person, instead of focusing on being married, instead of being distracted about all the things that are around you, God is calling you. Number one, what he wants you to do as a single person, and this is true not just of singles, but for all of us, you must surrender your life to God. To surrender means, the word surrender means to yield to the possession or power of another. God is calling you to yield, to surrender the possession of your life to his own power, not yours. Today, have you surrendered your life to God? Or are you still trying to please you? Are you trying to build your kingdom and do you? Or have you said, God, listen, I lay my life at your feet. Look, it's an act of worship, surrendering it to you. And look, what is it you would have me to do? Romans chapter 12. We talked about renewing our mind a couple of weeks ago, and we're in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Today, for all of my singles who are listening to me right now, look, maybe I'm discontent. Maybe things aren't going the way that I think they should, that they probably should in your life, because you haven't got to the point where you have surrendered your life to God. Surrender your career to God. Surrender your job choices. Surrender your education choices. Surrender it all to God. Say, God, I am here for you. I'm laying it all at your feet. See, living single God's way starts with you surrendering your life to God. That's what he's calling us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We belong to him. He paid a high price for us. And now, because he paid a price for us, we are now no longer to live for ourselves, but to live for him who gave his life for us. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Today, to all my singles, not just my singles, if you're married watching me today, have you come to the point where you have surrendered your life to God? Have you yielded your life to the power of your life, to the possession? Have you yielded your life over to God's power? Have you given possession of your life over to God and have allowed him to take control? He's got to be the resident boss. That's where it all starts. Today, if you want to live single God's way, first surrender your life to God. The second letter in single is I. Look, living single, sometimes I can get so caught up into being in a relationship that I'm not maximizing where I am right now. And one of the things that you have the ability to do right now as a single person is to identify, improve, and invest your gifts. Identify, improve, and invest your gifts. There is no better time for you to identify how God has gifted and wired you than during your single season. Well, see, when you get married, now you have your spouse, and then children come, and you have all of these things. And then sometimes that gift, you may have identified your gift, but you want to be able to invest in it. But guess what? You got to invest in your family, in that time in your family. You have so many things to balance. But right now, as you're single, you have no wife, you have no children, you have no husband, you have no children. Look, this is a good time. Or even if you have children, you may be single and as a single parent right now. Still, you have an opportunity to identify your gift, improve your gift, and then invest your gift. Have you taken time to figure out what that is today? God has put a gift in each and every one of us. He's given all of you gifts, talents, and abilities. And now is the time, instead of me languishing and worrying about, man, where I am, when is God going to bring my spouse to me? God is saying, look, I've given you abilities. Now I want you to invest them. It's like the parable of the talents. He gave all the talents, and now I want you to invest them, multiply them, and then invest them in the lives of other people. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received, how to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Look, you have to figure out how God has gifted you, and now it's time. Look, it's a great time for you to get some trainings. Go to take some personal and spiritual development classes. You can travel. You can go and use your gifts on the mission field in ministries that you would not be able to do when you're married. You know, I was talking to one brother a while ago who always said that, look, while he was single, he had this desire and his heart for missions, and he had a gift for evangelism. He wanted to be on the mission field. But, man, he got married, and now he didn't have that time. And not only that, look, you can get caught up and maybe marry a spouse whose gift and whose idea of ministry might not be in the same vein as yours. And then what happens? He now had this thing inside of him where he wanted to go on the mission field. He never got a chance to go. Why? Because he did not go when he had an opportunity as a single. When God is calling you to use that gift, man, go use it. And find out what it is. Improve on it. Develop it. Get training. Develop that gift. God said, listen, you train yourself in godliness. Develop it. And now go invest it in others. You know what that does? When you do that as a single, it prepares you to be a more well-rounded married person. It prepares me. The gifts that I identified as a single, when I began to develop them, now I come with more to the table. So what are you going to do? Single. If you want to live single God's way, you got to surrender your life to God. Not only do you need to surrender your life to God, you got to identify your gifts. You got to improve your gifts. And then you must invest your gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Look, now's the time for you not to be able to look into the other lane and somebody else in a different season of life, but to take where you are, identify how he's gifted you, invest it. To invest means to use, give, or devote your time, talent, etc., as for a purpose or to achieve something greater. That's what God is calling you to do today. Surrender your life to God. Identify your gifts, improve your gifts, and invest your gifts. But not only that, the next letter in single is N. This is a season for you to network with people of like mind. Man, that ties into last week, doesn't it? We talked about friendship. And the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. How can two walk together unless they agree? Now is a good season for you to get together with people of like mind. You know, I encourage young adults, even the young adults here at our church. Man, one of the things when I was growing up as a young adult that helped me stay grounded was that I was networking. I was hooked up with people who have a right mind. And it helped me grow. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You got to find, listen, you take the principles from last week, the kind of friends that you should seek, and then network with people like that. That's what God is calling us to do. As we associate with people, look, I heard one saying in business say, your network will determine your net worth. Your network will determine your net worth. What does your network look like today? Are you connected with people of like mind? Are you connected with people who are striving for godliness? Are you connected with people who have a kingdom mindset, that are striving to seek first his kingdom? If not, man, it's time to change the network. It's time to get some new friends. You know, when we use the word network, a network is an association of individuals having common interests, formed to provide mutual assistance, helpful information, or the like. What is your network looking like? Last week we talked in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look, man, that two are better than one. Get together with people of like mind during this season. And as a single, if you want to live single God's way, man, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that's challenging is to live holy morally and stay pure morally. You know, one of the things that can help you do that is being connected with brothers that got the like-minded brothers. I'm talking to my brothers out here, my sisters as well. But I'm going to tell you, when I was trying to stay holy and do what God has called me to do, I'm not going to say I was always living holy like I should. But in those seasons when the temptation was pressed on me, one of the things that used to help keep me is the news that I had men of God, friends that say, look, bro, you can't do that, man. It's too much at stake. You got to keep your body. I know that temptation is on you. I know she might be fine. I know, listen, nobody else is around. You might not think anybody else will know, but I'm going to tell you, God will know. It's so good. It was so good to have people in my network that would speak that truth in my life that kept me from making mistakes that I shouldn't have made. I'm here to tell you, your network will determine your net worth. And I'm not just talking about your monetary worth. I'm talking about your usefulness in the kingdom. Look, today, you got to network with people of like mind if you want to be with God, all that God has called for you to be. Look, you want to live single God's way. Living single God's way means you, number one, you got to surrender your life to God. That's where it starts. You got to surrender your life to God. Present your bodies. Present yourself to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service, which is your act of worship. Surrender your life to God. Identify your gift. Improve your gift and invest your gift. And then use it as a time to network with people of like mind. It's time to improve your circle. To get some folks who are striving for more in their life, walk with God, not just in their walk with God in their career, but who have a kingdom mindset to their career. Amen? But not only that, what you have to do now, once you identify your gift, improve it and invest it, and now your network of people of like mind, the next letter in single is G, get busy serving others. Get busy serving others. Being single is a great time for you to get busy serving others. Instead of me sitting around and worried about when is my spouse coming, God said, now invest my gift in the lives of other people. Get busy serving. Today, if you're a part of a church, I know church is so different than it used to be because we're virtual. But you know, there are opportunities to serve even virtually. You know, you might say, look, man, you might have a gift in video editing. Wow. Your church might need you in their video editing department. A church who maybe never needed much video editing. Now, in a pandemic, guess what? They need some video editing. If you've got that skill and you love making YouTube videos, find out if you can get busy serving others. Not only that, there are people who are in need all around us in our community, people who've lost work, people who are not able to work during the pandemic and whatever else. There are people who are in need in all of our communities. God is saying, listen, I didn't save you to sit. I saved you to serve. Get busy giving back into the lives of others. I say it all the time. Giving is the highest level of living. Whose life are you getting busy? Who are you serving right now? Back Matthew chapter 20, listen to that, verse 26 and 28. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So often, I'm going to tell you in this single season, I can become self-absorbed as a single. And it's all about me. God said, it ain't about you. It's about somebody else. We all, whether we're single, married, whatever, we all should be serving God and investing in the lives of others. If you're right out there right now and you're just sitting, God has said, nope, I want you to give back. What are some ways as a single person that I can give back, I can invest the gift that I have into serving somebody else and stop worrying just about me, 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 me? Because what he said, if you want to be great, you must become a servant. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day at work, and we were talking about forgiveness. And we were talking about how do you deal with people who wronged you and got issues, and how do you deal with that? And one of the things that came up, I said, look, sometimes the people who have issues and have done wrong to you, what they've done to you has nothing to do with you. Sometimes people have issues that have nothing to do with you, and it comes out. You just kind of get the brunt of it. And you might get the backlash from it, but they might have something going on in their life that has nothing to do with you that you deal with. What you got to learn how to do is, you know what? Start praying for people that don't treat you right. Ooh, I said, look, the Bible says to pray for those who bless those that curse you and pray for those who use you despitefully. And what you do, I said, it's hard to continue to be angry with somebody that you're praying for. It's hard to come to work. This is a coworker I was telling you, talking to. It's hard to pray for somebody at home and then come to work and be nasty to them. And then she said, well, when I do that, how does that benefit me? And I said, that's just the thing. It is not about me. It's not about me. Sometimes we're always thinking me, me, me. God said, listen, I want you to serve somebody else. First of all, it's about me. It's about my glory. And I want you to follow my example as a servant, as Christ, who was God. He came to serve. Look, God is calling you to get busy serving somebody else today in your single season. Who are you serving? God is calling you not to sit, not just to serve yourself, and don't be self-serving. Sometimes we can serve, but really even in our service, it's all about us. It's what I'm going to get out of it at the end. God's telling us to serve selflessly without even thinking about what we're going to get in return. So if I'm going to be single, live single God's way, I got to get busy serving others. So where are we? Where are we right now? We started with S. S is surrender your life to God. You know, that starts with a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to come to know who Christ is as Lord and Savior of your life. And then after you have done that, now it's a daily thing. I got to surrender my life to God, present myself to him as a sacrifice. Then I identify my gifts, improve on the gifts that he's given me, and then invest them. Invest those gifts. Then what he wants you to do is use this time and a season as a single to network with people of like mind. Look, man, get lock arms with people who can help you stand. Lock arms with people who are going in the same direction you're doing, going in a positive direction with a kingdom mindset. That's what you got to network with people of like mind. Then get busy serving others. Get busy serving others. We're almost done. We're next to the letter L. And single is L is if you want to live single God's way, you know what you're going to have to do? Love yourself. And you can say love yourself. Pastor, that sounds like a little humanistic kind of mindset. No, you got to love yourself. You got to love. God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and love who God has made you. I'm here to tell you, if you want to be content where God has called you to be, you got to understand, you got to love yourself. God has said, look at what he says in Mark 12. He said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Why did I read that passage? Because he said, love your neighbor as how you love yourself. God is telling you, he presupposes that you love yourself. But you can't love your neighbor until you love who God has made you. You can't love nobody else right until you love who God has made you. And to all my single people today, there are some of you right now who have gone in and out of relationships because, listen, you haven't come fallen in love with yourself yet. And I'm here to tell you, until you love yourself and love who God has made you and designed you to be, you're not ready even to be connected into a relationship. What does he say? You got to love your neighbor as yourself, which means that I don't know how to love somebody else until I know how to love what God has made me. First starts with loving God. And when I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I recognize that he's made me in his image, man, then God, I love myself. And it's not a prideful, cocky kind of love. It's an appreciation that God, I'm made in your image. It's not because of just me. It's because of who you've made me to be. Today, God has designed you specially in his word. He says, Psalm 139 said, listen, he shaped and folded you. He molded you. He knew you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, I want to tell my single people, male or female, you got to love who God made you. Love yourself. Love yourself. And until you fall in love with what God has designed, God doesn't make no junk, y'all. He said, you're his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. God shaped and molded you. I want to tell you this. When God made everything else in creation, he spoke a word and hung the stars in space. He spoke a word and the birds began to sing. He spoke a word and the rivers began to flow. But when it came to you and I, he said, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God put his hand on the dirt, and he shaped you and molded you in his image and put his mouth on you and breathed his life into you. You got to love yourself. Why? Because he loves you with an undying love. And he created you, and he shaped you and designed you special, and he doesn't make mistakes. Today, you want to live single God's way. You got to love who God made you. Today, God is calling you as a single person to surrender your life. Surrender your life to him. Identify, improve on, and invest your gifts. Network with people of like mind. Get yourself busy serving others, giving, and God is calling you. Listen, you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to be a servant. You got to get out there and serve. And then what does he say? Listen, love who God has made you. Love yourself. Why? Because you're special in his sight. always, my kids, man, if you ever watch VeggieTales, the thing, anybody out there listening to me who's ever watched VeggieTales knows this statement. God made you special, and he loves you very much. You're special, so you got to love who God made you. Final letter, single, is E. And you know what that is? E is enjoy life where you are. So often we can be discontent. I want to be here. Man, I'm looking for my wife. Man, I'm looking for a husband. God, when are you going to bring this spouse? God, when are you going to give me this job? God, when is this going to happen? When is my scholarship going to come through? That we fail to see the blessing right where he's given us, right where he's placed us. And what God is calling you to be content with the station and stage of life that you're in, because he's doing great things. And so often I'm so busy looking over there at what I want to see over there that I'm missing all that God is doing right here, right where I'm standing. Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12 says, "For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." That's what God is calling you to do. Another scripture I love, Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, "I've noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life." What God is saying, your lot, not maybe not in life, but your lot today, if you're watching me as a single, where he has you right today is singleness. And he said, enjoy it. Maximize your moments. Don't get so busy looking at what you want over there that you fail to miss all the blessings and beauty that he's giving you right here. That's what God is calling you today to do today. That's how you live single God's way. And when you do that, guess what? He uses you in a mighty, mighty way. Man, listen to what he said. I just want to go back to our passage real quick. He says right here, he says, "An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." Says the same thing about an unmarried woman. She's concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband. You know what it's saying? It's not bad to be married. It's not bad to be single. He said, look, both are good. There are advantages to both. But don't be so caught up wishing you were one or the other that you miss out on the blessing that where God has you. Today, for all of my singles, my question is, have you surrendered your life to God? Have you surrendered your life to God? First, the first place that starts is, you know what? Initially, you may have never initially surrendered your life to God. What I'm here to tell you, we're all born into this world. You know that you're not born with a life surrendered to God. But Bible says that we're all born separated from God because of our own sin. Sin is our desire to do what is opposed to God. Anything that we want, that I think, say, or do that is against God's will. Sin is simply man trying to be the boss. That's all it is. Man trying to be the boss. We trying to call the shots. When God said, listen, I'm the one to call the shots. And the Bible says that all of us are born sinners. All of us are born in a position of animosity or at odds with God. And we've not in a position that is not surrendered to God's will. That's how you're born. And today, if you've never come to the place in your life where you have initially surrendered your life to God, that's where you got to start. You got to start today with first surrendering your life to God and asking him to take your sin and forgive you of all of your sin and to give you his righteousness. And in order for you to do it, and that's the way it starts. And when you do that, when you give him your sin and admit to God that, God, I'm separated from you by my own rebellion and sin that we're born in. And I want you to forgive me of all my sins. What he'll do, if you ask his son to come into your life, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He wants to give you everlasting life, but you got to surrender your life to him today. If you're not sure if you've ever done that, you're not sure where you're standing, you say, look, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to God. I'm single. You might be married. I don't know. Single, married, wherever you are. Look, you might be saying, you say, I know I have not surrendered my life to God. I want to surrender my life to God for the very, very first time. If that's you right now, if you're watching online, let somebody know in the chat. I want to surrender my life to God. If you're watching in the chat, let it know. Look, I need prayer. I want to surrender my life to God. Look, if you're not able to do that in the chat, I want you to let us know by going right onto that our website. I want to surrender my life to God. I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender, where you can surrender your life to God today. And if you mean that prayer, we want to know about it. Would you pray after me? If you're one of those, say, listen, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to God today so I can live not just single, but I can live as a single. I can live as a married person. I can live in whatever state I am in a way that pleases him. And it all starts with having your sins forgiven and you being in right relationship with him. Here's the prayer of invitation. It simply says, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit today that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross just for me. I believe he was buried and rose again to make me right with him. Now, God, I invite you, I invite your son, Jesus, into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of every sin, past, present, and future. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, if you really meant that, oh, man, congratulations, congratulations. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Look, I want to help you. We want to help you grow. We want to help you develop and be all God has called you to be. So I want to get some information into your hand that can help you. So if you can go to encounterchurch.net/next, N-E-X-T. And in that, on that form, give us your name and say, look, I accepted Christ today as Lord of my life. We want to get something in your hand to help you grow in your walk with God. Could you do that for me today? Amen. Look, if you're watching and you're single and you said, man, Pastor, I've kind of gotten off focus today. I want to live single. I want to recommit my life. I want to recommit my life, surrender my life again. Because this thing of surrendering is a daily thing that you got to do too. You got to do it initially to have your sins forgiven. But moment by moment, it's a recommitment. You want to recommit your life to walking with God today? Let me pray with you before we close. I want to pray with all of you who said, I've accepted Christ before, but I want to recommit my life today. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for God being a God of another chance. And I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, Lord, whether single, whether married, that wherever they are watching me today, that who said, God, I want to come back and recommit my life to walking with you. Lord, let them know your love and your forgiveness and your grace. And thank you for being patient. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will surround them with the network of people with like mind who say they want to walk and build kingdom that can help encourage them and keep them accountable. In Jesus' name, we pray. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit so that they can walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, if that's you, you wanted to recommit your life today, say, look, I recommit my life. You're one that want to recommit your life today. Please let us know. Encounterchurch.net/next. You can say, I recommit my life today. Let us reach out to you to connect with you as well. Amen. Man, praise God. I thank God for you joining us today. We talked about friendships. We talked about living single. We're going to talk about how to date God's way, but also we're going to get into that marriage piece, and we're going to get into his needs and her needs. And so don't cut me off yet. We got something for all of us. I believe God's word has so much to say about love, relationships in the church and the body of Christ. I hope you come tune in with us next week. Amen. God bless you.